Welcome to the Just Swinging It podcast. My name is John Burrell, and today we have a special guest, the Mighty Ox from Mighty Ox Trading. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just a wild day in the markets. The S&P 500 is down about 3%, a pretty big move to the downside. I know you were trading NASDAQ earlier, if I'm correct.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I was.
I know a big portion of the move happened starting around 10 and on throughout the day as far as Eastern time goes. How much of that affected your trading, and was there good markets in there to trade as far as day trading goes this morning?
Yeah, there was. I didn't take full advantage of it, you know. I always look at these days where it like moves all one direction and wonder how I didn't end up like $10,000 in the green, but it's like when it is moving all one direction, you don't know if like, it seems like as soon as you get in, it goes the other way. So I didn't want to jump in anywhere and I didn't feel like real comfortable. But so I got some stuff early in the morning and then kind of let it go after that.
Yeah, I heard that. So what was your overall, for people that don't know, I know I was on the stream earlier today. How'd you end up today? Kind of recap some of our trades you had today just before we get into the interview.
Ended up $749 on the day. Was up as much as like about $1,400. So I gave about half back on a couple of super trades toward the end of my stream. But even so, nice green day. 3 out of 5 green days this week. So, can't complain there.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good trading day. And, you know, losses come, of course, in trading, but be able to manage that and still come out positive $700, that's a really good trading day.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll never complain about $700.
Yeah, I heard that. So, I prepared a few questions here. I know a lot of people on your stream and people that's familiar with the industry of trading in the specific part that we're involved in probably knows about you. So for the people that don't know about you, let's just go over a little bit of your background and then we'll get more into the trading stuff and strategy and all those fun parts here a little bit later. But let's just start with, you know, where are you from? Have you moved or are you relocated or, you know, where's your current living situation?
I was born in Eastern Pennsylvania. But right now I'm living in the land of corn and soybeans right in central Illinois.
Okay, so you're out there with the commodities and the farmlands,
yeah,
and everything else. So did that inspire any type of futures trading?
Nope. Honestly, you know, I had always heard a little bit about futures, but I never really understood how any of that worked until about 2 years ago. So yeah, it didn't really inspire anything there. It's just very boring to look at as you're driving to just see corn and soybeans. That's about it. That's probably why I don't even trade them.
Yeah, I heard that. A lot of people, I think, when they think of corn or soybeans or things like that, they don't really become stimulated mentally. So a lot of people like the stocks and all that things, but I think the Canadian futures trader, myself and you, when it comes to trading in the futures market, we get a little excited about some copper, some corn here or there.
Yep.
So we're a little odd and when it comes to that extent, especially now that we're in the space, you kind of explore some of these things. Like I've seen you trade copper and things like that. But before we continue to talk about trading, it's hard. My brain always goes to trading right away. So it's hard for me. I keep having to pull myself back from that. But I know that you've done like some side hustles and you're slowly getting away from your side hustles, but you've done enough side hustles that you were doing it like a full-time gig, so to speak. And I know that you also are on Reddit with that. So maybe dive in a little bit of the side hustles that you've done in the past and that you're still kind of doing on the side and how you have a whole community around that as well.
I do a lot of stuff like what's called MTurk, which is actually owned by Amazon. It's a whole bunch of like micro tasks is basically the proper term for it, where requesters will post up work. It could be anything from surveys to voice recording. Back when Google was developing its Google Home, they actually put work on there to for voice recording to start teaching how Google Home how to recognize voices. So I did a lot of work there. It can be it's a myriad of tasks. I do a lot of academic surveys. Like colleges would post these psychological surveys and things like that. And I've done everything in that area. I've also done some eBay flipping in the past. I've done just signing up for free trial type things where they pay you. There's a get paid to program called Swagbucks where you can actually get paid just to play mobile games and reach a certain level. Like I was just working on a stupid little game called Merge Dragons, and for getting to a certain level, I got $40. Things like that. And most people do it for spare money, but for quite a while, I found a way to make a decent get by enough living out of it.
Yeah, and I think that keeps things interesting to some level. Instead of just working the typical boring job, you're a actually getting to do things that are wildly different from each end of that spectrum. So it definitely, I guess, keeps you on your toes and gives you something new, especially, playing games for fun. Most people do it for free, so why not get paid a little something for it?
Right.
So that's really interesting. Now, don't you have something on Reddit called like Beer Money or something that you kind of help people like figure out ways to do some of these side hustles?
Right. The Beer Money subreddit. I mean, that's not my Reddit, but I joined there, it was like, I guess 6 years ago now. And at the time I joined, it was all just a bunch of either people that were complaining about programs or people trying to get referrals for programs and nothing else. So I started just posting my monthly report of what I was doing and, show who was paying with companies, because there are some scams in the space as well. So, I was posting, and then eventually just led to also, it became a motivational post for people. They would see that, you can earn some extra money, single moms for Christmas, things like that. And, helping people not only just find programs that are working and paying, but like if people send me a message, I'll be happy to help them get started on certain things. And it became kind of so-called Reddit famous for that, posting on that Reddit. My post, that I post up one monthly post each month, my earnings. That post usually gets tens of thousands of views. So that's kind of where, people first started noticing me, and I've been able to help people, and they really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean that it is a big tribute to communities, especially if you can help people find some ways that anybody can make a little bit of money to maybe pay this bill that's due or be able to provide for themselves at some level that's in addition to their income, or like you done, make all of these little projects add up to a full-time income. Now, do you think that doing these side hustles or finding these opportunities has related to your trading or like helped you in, like relay any of those skills over into trading?
I think it can help in terms of like patience and being able to stay focused for long periods of time, because these, especially like MTurk or whatever, you're doing these surveys, you're doing them all day. It can get really mind-numbing and monotonous at times. So and a lot of trading is also waiting around, waiting for the right setup, waiting for where you're gonna get in at. It might chop around for an hour before giving you your setup or whatever. So I think in that way, maybe it's helped.
And I guess too, you were talking about scams and things in the industry. I guess that comes with all industries. There's going to be scammers out there trying to make money off of people. Has being able to identify scams in the the side hustle, we'll call it, market, or the micro jobs market, has that helped you identify maybe some of the scams in the trading space? Because Lord knows there's tons of scams and grifters that's in the trading
Oh
market.
yeah, I think it probably has helped with that. I mean, it's just like, I mean, even when I first just started trading, I could recognize, you know, I knew that all these indicators that supposedly gonna get you a 90% win rate, blah blah blah. I didn't even think about falling for that type of thing. You know, it's yeah, it probably did help with that. I hadn't even really thought about it, but yeah, it probably really did help.
Yeah, because that's the problem with anyone trying to seek ways to make money to pay bills or just to get into another career is people are baited in with scams and things. And that's the unfortunate part, and it's in all industries. Definitely something to check out and watch out for, but it doesn't mean that there isn't actual opportunities in whatever industry you're looking at, especially online. There's ways to make money online. And trading can be one of those. So getting into the trading stuff now, the spicy stuff that people are dying to hear about. So how did you get into trading first? And then we'll go into the prop firm and futures and all that kind of area.
Well, the main part of my trading journey is kind of rooted in personal tragedy. I mean, I always had a kind of an interest in it, but I never really had any money to get into it at all. You know, I played around with Robinhood a little bit. But then in late 2019, I'm diabetic. I got an infection in my foot. And long story short, I ended up having an amputation in the hospital for like 6 weeks and then moved to a rehabilitation center waiting on a prosthesis. Well, then COVID hit and my prosthesis was delayed. Weirdest sentence you're ever going to hear is your foot is on back order. And so I started just messing around with Robinhood again. I had a little bit of money left in there. And I just played with some penny stocks that was right after oil went going negative. And I was playing with some penny oil stocks that were like under a dollar a share. And I ended up like quadrupling the money in there. And I thought, you know what? I've always had an interest in this. Maybe I can learn to do this more. So instead of just wasting the time in the rehab center waiting for the prosthesis and doing nothing besides laying there and whatever, that's where I started learning, trying to learn how to trade off, you know, watching stuff on YouTube and all that. So that's how I started really getting into the big part of my trading journey. And at first I started with stocks, and stocks frustrated me. PDT rule and not being able to go short easily and all this other stuff. And that's when I then ended up finding the futures and the futures funding programs, and I switched over to the futures.
Yeah, nice. So for people that don't know that maybe listening to this, I know on the Just Swing It podcast, we are kind of more tailored towards investing slash swing trading. That's kind of where the name come from. And it's also kind of a laid back, chill podcast where we talk about sports and a few other things. But for people that don't know, futures contracts, to give a definition for what it's worth, is basically a contract traded to buy or sell an asset at a fixed price that'll be settled or delivered in the future at a later date. So, you know, if you have something like gold, you can buy or sell that contract today, and then whatever it's worth when the contract expires is basically if you make or lose money. But you don't have to hold it to expiration. You can day trade these, and some settle to cash and some settle to physical commodity. And obviously, you don't want to take on,
50,000 bushels of
you know,
corn.
the physical. Yeah, you don't want to take on a bunch of corn on your front step or anything like that. And so a lot of people day trade these or swing trade them. What we're going to be talking about today with the Mighty Ox is futures. We had a futures trader on before. We've talked about futures on previous episodes of the Just Swing It podcast. So people that's listened to those episodes will be familiar. But just to kind of get everyone on the same page as futures, now we will go to the prop firms. Can you kind of explain what the opportunity is in the prop firm space in it regards to the futures and you know how that works and what the opportunity is there?
Sure. Basically, you sign up. You have to pay a fee. It's usually a monthly fee until you like pass their evaluation. They evaluate your trading. You have to reach a certain profit target, without breaking any of the rules. Your rules are usually like you can't lose X amount of money overall. Some have an X amount of money per day. And you got to follow the other rules, like the max amount of contracts you're allowed to trade. And what time you're allowed to trade the products, don't hold them after close, etc. And if you then pass, you're given a funded account where you trade with the props firm's money, and then you get a split of the profit. Usually you get 80% or 90%, and the prop firm gets 10 or 20%. So it's a great opportunity for people that don't have a lot of money, or even people that do have a lot of money don't want to risk their own capital while they're, getting, especially if they're getting started in trading.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, especially like you said, if you don't have a lot of money or you're just getting into the space, you want to kind of check it out and see if it's for you, or you want to develop your strategy before you actually use your money, or you know, even if you pass one of these accounts, if this is going to be for you. What's kind of your strategy and what's the prop firm that you like the best right now?
Well, my strategy is very, very simple. Basically, the meat of my strategy is as simple as a 20 period EMA. I am waiting for it to change slope. So if it's was uptrending, I'm waiting for it to then start downtrending, and a candle to basically go through the EMA in the direction that it just changed to. So, like, if it just go, starts down sloping, I'm looking for a red candle that goes through that EMA, and that's my entry candle. And then I just look for a certain amount of points and get out and wait for the next opportunity. The prop firm I'm most into right now is actually the first one that was in the futures realm for prop firms, and that's Top Step. They're the OG in the space, and they had kind of fallen to the wayside with all the new companies that have come out over the last year or so, but they're starting to make changes to catch up, and I really like the changes that I know are coming that haven't been announced yet, and I'm really excited about being with them at this point.
Nice. And so, it, as far as the strategy goes, how did you come up with the strategy that you're currently using?
Well, I was using another strategy, but I found an indicator on TradingView. I do all my charting on TradingView that actually that EMA changes color when it's up and up slope or down slope. So I started just using that with the old strategy, and then I just as I was looking at the charts, I was starting to notice this strategy because it's one thing I've become good at, I think, if I start seeing patterns or start noticing things like that. So then I started, kind of charting that out. Does this work? Is it the way it looks like it does? And I just, over the last 3 weeks is when I've really been just starting to use it, and it's been the most consistent trading I've done since I've started.
Yeah, I've noticed that you know, I watch your stream for a little bit every morning that I get a chance to, and I've noticed the transition to your new strategy, and it seems like you've drastically improved through that time. So, you know, congrats on the finding a strategy that works for you, and also on your you know, ability to start making, you know, more money, and you've really became consistent. Now, I know that you're a funded trader as well, correct?
Yes, with Tick Tick Trader.
Yeah, so you're funded with Tick Tick, and I know you just now become sponsored by Top Step, and you're going through their evaluation. You've been crushing it as far as this new evaluation goes. With the strategy, you know, like you said, you've transitioned from the one that you had. You're going on your way. How big of a role has back testing or going back in the past and seeing if something works. How much does that influence your trading, and how much does that help you mentally to actually execute your
Oh,
strategy?
it's big. I go back through the charts every weekend. I literally spend probably 5 or more hours every weekend just going back through the week and looking at every entry, that I would have made. And it, not only work, not only just to, see the charts and how things moved, but also, when I start seeing and marking off, well, this would have been a win, this would have been a win, it gives me more confidence to execute that strategy, saying, because one of my biggest problems is confidence. Even, with a strat that shows me that it's, working, I still have that hesitation to get into a trade. So, seeing here that, basically if I'd entered every trade and it would have been X amount of wins and a lot less losses, starts giving me more confidence to enter more trades, because if I let the law of averages based on this back testing just work, it should, allow the P&L to go up even if I do take a loss, here and there.
Yeah, and that's an important point is as a trader, you have to know that you're gonna have losses. And even though we know that, when we get into a trade, and a lot of people that are getting into the space, they want to make every losing trade turn into a winner, and they don't wanna, they don't wanna say, okay, this is a loser and move on. They'll try to double down, they'll try to do a lot of things that they shouldn't. So it's really important to realize you're gonna have a loss. And realize over time, like you said, the law of large numbers plays out. And to me, having that back test really helped the psychology of trading. If you know that it's been profitable historically, then it's a lot easier to actually trade. And I agree with you 100%. That's something that I talk about all the time is back testing and really quantifying what the strategy would have done in the past so you have some kind of indication of what it may do in the future. And also that you're comfortable with the volatility of the strategy and not just how much it made, because there's going to be points where you're down a lot of money. You need to be able to realize, okay, well, this has happened before, or you have some kind of context that'll keep you trading that strategy instead of just getting in your own head and then abandoning the strategy. And a lot of people bounce back and forth from strategy to strategy to product to product. But if you have a strategy that works and has historically worked, that seems to help out a whole lot. So I definitely agree with what you're saying there. Now, is most of your trading, to me, it seems like it has shifted to mostly the NASDAQ. Is that something that you've seen that you've just continuously traded more and more of the NASDAQ, or are you still trying to trade other products?
Right now, I'm just focusing on NASDAQ, just because I think focusing on the one product to really start, honing in on that and not jumping around too much and missing entries, etc. I probably will stick to that, for at least a while. I probably will add a second product at some point, just because, NASDAQ's having a very slow day of, not doing much at all. Gives you something else to maybe check out, like probably, either copper or the Ultra Bonds become very popular lately, something like that, just to have a second product to kind of, be there in case NASDAQ's just having a bad day, whatever.
Yeah, for me, I mainly focus on the ES, and I've found that for me, focusing on one thing has made it easier for me to become profitable, and also the differences between the products, because you may have a drawdown on both products at the same time, and that can be really hard for your account. If you took two losses in a row in this product, then you switch over here and you took two losses in a row, versus if you're just trading the one. So that's something that's helped me out a lot too. I guess as a streamer though, you have an extra layer of difficulty, and maybe you can talk about how you kind of fight this, because as a streamer, you want to be trading a lot and people seeing, I guess, the entertainment of actually trading. But as a trader, you don't necessarily need to trade at all times of the day. you need to pick your setups. So how has, I know you've moved from like the 1 minute chart to the 5 minute chart, and that's probably gave you less setups. So the less setups has probably helped your trading, but how do you combat the difference between trading when you're streaming and just trading for the sake of trading?
Actually, I have moved back to the 1 minute chart now since I went to this new strategy. But even so, I mean, yeah, there is that balance between entertainment and being an effective trader. And I mean, when I'm streaming, I do check other markets. You know, someone will mention, oh, crude's going, and I'll just look at it and say, oh yeah, that would have been a good trade, but I'm no longer, you know, trying to figure out where an entry might be on that. So, I mean, I still go through all the different charts and all the different stuff and maybe look at things here and there if, you know, while it's slow. Try to give that entertainment value, talk about what, you know, what's going on with the news or anything that might be affecting the markets. And, you know, if it's really slow, sometimes, you know, we'll go even off the subject of trading, you know, just let the banter in the chat room go, etc. But yeah, it's a balance, but I think I'm also there to try and show that trading isn't always being in a trade. You know, I want the streams to be not just entertainment, but also educational. And I don't ever want to give people the impression that they should try and be jumping into a trade every 2 minutes. You know, sometimes the best part, you know, the best thing to do is being to sit on your hands and wait until your setup comes. So I think that showing that there's boring times in trading and that you may need to keep focus while maybe doing something else that allows you to stay focused on the chart, but also whatever, you know, so you don't get like totally zoned out either, is, you know, a part of trading.
Well, I guess that's a win-win as far as being able to trade on the 1 minute. So you're able to still trade your strategy, but you're also getting a little bit more volume as far as trading on the 1 minute. Have you seen that be to be the case as far as trading on the 1 minute versus the five?
Yeah, I mean, definitely more entries. Like, I mean, it looks to me like I get between, I'll say, 7 and 10 entries per the 3.5 hour stream I'm on the 1 minute, and I might only get two or three on the five. So it definitely gives more entries. Gotta be a little bit more careful because, you know, you might get a couple more false signals as well. So you gotta still filter, try and filter out those choppiness. You'll get that less on the five, but yeah, there's definitely more action on the one.
When it comes to your streaming, again, talking about that a little bit, has it been more difficult to learn trading while also streaming? Because I know you kind of started as your journey has progressed. I know I couldn't possibly do it, so I think that you've done a great job to be able to learn how to trade while also doing that very publicly. Can you kind of talk about some of the challenges and the things that you've overcome or overcame in that in that aspect?
I think that for the most part, it's helped me. I think the only challenges is just, you know, being able to continually focus on the charts while, you know, also responding in chat, reading chat, and, you know, running the streaming software, you know, maybe sometimes adjusting screens or whatnot. That, you know, that part's the challenging part because, you know, you're constantly having to look from monitor to monitor away from the charts, and you know, something might burst down quickly, what would have been your signal, but you just missed it. And then you kind of want to chase it. And then you realize, you know, you shouldn't chase it, etc. But I think where, you know, people ask me to explain something, why am I doing something? Why did I enter there? Why didn't I enter there? Something like that, you know, anything like that. It helps kind of like as I'm, you know, explaining it verbally, it reinforces in my own mind why I'm doing what I'm doing, and it helps with that whole memorization of the setups of how the chart's looking on that setup, and just explaining it, you know, just reinforces everything. Plus, you know, I get a lot of good traders that have found my stream, and there's a lot of ideas that go back and forth and a lot of encouragement as well. But just listening to some of the, more experienced traders and some of the, adjustments they suggest, or just ways to stay mentally in the game after a loss, or when you really go down far, that has really helped as well.
Nice. Yeah, there's definitely a great community, and for those of you listening either live now or in the future on the streaming platforms where you can find your podcast, definitely check out Mighty Ox Trading on YouTube, and he's also Mighty Ox Trading on ShareVision. He does the evening stream over there. What time is your evening stream and what time is your morning
The
stream?
morning streams start at 7:30 Eastern, and they run to about 11 Eastern. And the evening streams start at 7:45 p.m. Eastern. And depending on how exciting or slow the night is, run to about 10 Eastern, maybe 10:30 Eastern.
And that's from Sunday night to Friday morning.
Right.
Yeah, so nice. Yeah, like I said, or like he said, there's definitely a great community that's on his platform watching his streams. There's some banter. It's really fun hang out, especially in the mornings on YouTube. But there's a evening crowd, and if you have any questions, definitely get on the Share Vision, and you can ask him personal questions on there as well if you don't make it to the live stream here today and have any questions. But when we've talked about the prop firms, talked about your trading a little bit. What is some of the principles, or I guess ways to live by, or rules to live by as a trader that's really helped you in your trading, and that you're like, yeah, this saying is true, or this saying isn't true?
I think it's, I mean, almost everything is on the psychological side. Everything I'm reading about psychological or hear about psychological rings true with me. The thing, before you get into trading, I don't think anybody realizes how much of trading is psychological. Anybody can learn to like read a chart or whatever, but it's the psychological, the fear of losing. And you got to take a loss. You got one of the big things you hear a lot. If you want to be a successful trader, you got to learn how to lose. If you can't take a loss, if each loss is going to destroy you mentally, you're never going to make it as a trader. So that's one of the big ones, I think. It's weird to hear. You never want to think about having to accept the loss. You always hear, when you hear motivational speakers speaking, it's always win, 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 go for the win. Don't let your setbacks get you down, but it's like you never hear about accepting losing and continuing on. So, you've got to learn how to accept the loss, I think, is the absolute biggest one that you have to learn. And the other one is just not being afraid of losing. That was one of my biggest problems is, and I think that's a little bit exasperated by the prop firms because you have this loss limit that you have to follow. So you're always afraid of going backwards and getting near a loss limit and blowing the account. But if you constantly fear that loss, you're gonna end up losing more. So I think those are probably the two biggest, and they both deal basically with the same subject, but just a little bit slightly different.
Yeah, and I know for my strategy, when I was trading it, and I do a lot of algorithmic trading now, but when I was trading it, the problem that I had was my strategy actually loses more than it wins, but my winners are like 2, 2.5 times bigger than my losers. So it's still a profitable strategy, but if someone is trading it by hand or actually trading it themselves and not using an algo or a trading bot, then just the repetitive losses or losing more often can be very draining as a trader. And there is some higher probability trading strategies where maybe the odds are a little less, or vice versa. There's multiple different ways that the probabilities and the odds can be structured and you still be profitable. But I think for a lot of people, finding that balance between, okay, how much does my risk to reward need to be versus how many times I need to win? And maybe people can craft a trading strategy that's going to be more tailored to what they can take I guess psychologically, you know, because like you said, the mentality of trading is such a big part of this, other than the technical aspects.
Exactly. You just got to find what's going to work for your mentality, your psyche, and for a newer trader, I mean, you probably definitely want to try and find something that's going to have a higher win rate until you can sort of start adjusting to something that might give you more profit, even at a lower win rate. But probably for newer traders, I mean, they're almost always going to look for that want that win rate and not realize that they could be making more. Maybe with a lower win rate with a higher reward risk.
Yeah, for sure. Very good points. I invited Canadian Futures Trader to be a speaker. I don't know if he's available to come on and say a few things or not, or has any questions for you. But if anybody that is listening right now, if you want to request to speak, you're more than welcome to throw in your thoughts or throw a question to Mighty Ox, if you would like to. I know Twitter Space is relatively a new thing. It's been around for a few months now, but we're still getting used to it. And as you can hear and see, we've been having a couple technical difficulties we've tried to work through. So appreciate everyone for bearing through that with me. I'm going to try to edit this up, make it a little more pretty for the upload that's going to come later. So I guess. Talking into, well, I see Canadian Future just joined as a speaker, so you have the floor if you want to throw in your thoughts and ask any questions.
Heyo. Thanks for calling it out. I wasn't really paying attention, but I was listening. So I was like, "Oh, hey, I'm invited to talk. That's awesome." No, long time listener, first time caller. The no. Man, you caught me off guard. I don't know if I have any questions. First of all, congrats to Ox on being funded with TickTick. That was news to me. I missed that memo this week, so that is good news. No, Ox has been killing it this week. It's fun to watch him. I mean, I've been tuning into the stream a lot more, and I encourage everyone to do the same. Chop it up with some fun traders, and yeah, no, it's exciting to see people, succeed with the trader evaluations. Obviously, we've talked like quite a bit about them in the past, and yeah, I don't know. I need a minute to collect my thoughts if I have any specific questions.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead. I just wanted to get your speaker up there and ready, but yeah, you're more than welcome to jump in at any point. Yeah, something to think or something to say, like you were talking about his channel there, is Mighty Ox just hit 1,000 YouTube subscribers. So congratulations on that amazing accomplishment.
Thank you. And I owe a lot of thanks to Canadian Futures Trader. He's been a huge supporter. He's promoted me on his channel often, and a lot of people have found me thanks to him. So I definitely appreciate everything he's done for me.
Yeah, for sure. He's helped our podcast out as well. We've had him on the show a couple of times, and his interview, his second interview specifically that we had, he sent so many people to it. It's our now our number one streamed podcast with quite a few views. So definitely appreciate him and everything that he's created as well in this futures trading community. And once again, if anyone has any questions, you can request to speak and ask any question directly to Ox. I see a familiar face in here too that's currently in the lobby. So if you're wanting to speak, you definitely can request that, and we'll jump you in. Did you come up with anything on your side, Canadian Futures Trader?
No questions specifically. I do appreciate the call out. Happy to help. I was talking to Ox, I think it was earlier today, and I'm more than happy to I mean, I'm trying to take this back. I'm not trying to act like I'm the grand poobah here who's like helping you guys out. It's like a three-way kind of circle jerk. Sorry for whatever, but no, like, there is so, okay, let me walk this back. Back when I started trading futures, it was really hard to find good quality content. I did a lot of digging, and I went down. I'm pretty like skeptical type of guy, so like Ox, I heard you talking earlier about, you know, people selling indicators and stuff. Same thing. Like, I'm able to suss through that pretty quick, but unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people are, and they get kind of taken for a ride. So, myself, I've always tried to promote, you know, good, you know, info and just give it out for free. You know, I had to learn the hard way, and I'm fine sharing as much as I can. And that's, and to bring it back to what I was saying, that's why I like, you know, talking up Ox or, you know, the Just Swinging podcast and the great John Burrell, because you guys kind of do the same. Like, you're putting out good info to people that's helpful to traders. And I think that's what the community needs more of and less of the charlatans. So, yeah, that's kind of all I had to say on that. And I didn't really come up with any questions. And I need another moment on that one.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. You know, I think all of us are trying to push free content that's usable and it's not, you know, just trying to sell courses. We don't sell courses. We just do the show, and we try to have on other people that we respect or we learn about that we think can bring value. So we're constantly trying to have high quality guests. We may have had some people that we learned later weren't so high quality, and we've kind of taken those episodes down, but you run into so much trash that it is nice to find some reputable sources that provide good information. And not that courses are bad necessarily. I just think that a lot of courses are sold at such high prices. Ox was talking about this specifically of someone that's in this circle, which I like, but to an extent, it's like, why does he need to really sell courses at this price? You know, I mean, I understand like a few $100 or maybe the price of a evaluation or something like that. But when you start selling things for thousands, it makes me skeptical as far as like, I mean, are you really making a living trading, or are you just trying to like build this other business, or, you know, what is this person really trying to do here? So like you said, it's really hard to tell people's motives, but it makes it easier when they're trying to sell you something. But I don't know if we won't name anyone specifically, but I do think that, you know, if you're charging thousands of dollars for something, it's like, well, if you're this big time trader or you know what you're doing in trading, you really don't need to sell a course for thousands of dollars. I understand valuing what you do and what you put out, but I think, you know, the person that I will mention, I do not think this of, and I know Canadian Futures Trader thinks a lot about him. He sells a course, but it's like $100 or something, and it's not like, you know, it's not thousands upon thousands of dollars, and he gives good information because, you know, Ox is fully vetted. I mean, not Ox, but Canadian Futures Trader's vetted him as far as John Grady, I think it is, and he's got a episode on there. He sells a course, but it's not like thousands upon thousands, and he's not out here continuously like shilling courses and stuff. So I guess there's a fine line in the space. You know, what do you guys think?
I mean, I'll just speak up since you mentioned it. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I'm not a fan in general of people who sell courses, and you're right. When you get to that $1,000 and above mark, it's almost like an obvious cash grab. It's someone who's making money selling courses. And I mean, I've honestly, so, you know, I don't frequent the futures trading like message boards and forums. I used to more. But anytime I do, and I see people reviewing like a course or something, like I've yet to come across one that was like, oh, you know, this guy had a $5,000 course and it really helped me out. Like, no, it's always like, no, they ripped me off. John Grady though. Yeah. I mean, he's really where I obviously give him a lot of credit. It's where I learned my craft, both trading treasuries and trading using depth of market. And you're right. Like, his course is like $100. Like, that I get. Like, you know, there is something to be said for, you know, getting a little bit of, you know, value for, you know, compensation for, you know, the hard work he's put into it. And I mean, I can, you know, speak for his course. He has like a beginner course and an advanced course. They're both like, if you're interested in treasuries and you're interested in depth of market, they are fantastic like resources, because there's not a lot of resources out there. They're not going to teach like a beginner trade, you know, trader how to, you know, the basics, like that's not, but he makes no bones about it. That's not what they're about. Anyways, enough about that. But, yeah, I'm not sure I had much else to say about it. Yeah. I mean, I'll endorse John Grady's course, but yeah, aside from that one, like, I really don't know of anyone else, and I honestly have no idea who you guys were talking about this other person who has a course. I'm lost on that one, but I'm sure someone will tell me off the recording. But yeah, in general, course is bad. I'm much more a proponent. Like, look, I taught myself everything I know. Like, aside from John Grady's course, which I took down the road, like I put in my time up front for, I don't know, half a year, maybe like three quarters of a year before I even got to that point. Like, I just spent the time digging and researching and learning and trying things and, you know, finding what I liked and what I didn't like. And I think if people put in the time and the effort, you know, I'm very old school in that regard. Like, hard work pays off. Like, it really, really, truly does. And I mean, that, again, to bring it back to Ox's channel, like, that's one thing. Ox puts in a hell of a lot of work into his channel, and it pays off. You know, he hits 1,000 subscribers, getting sponsored by people. I mean, God knows what else, you know, what else is on deck for 2023. None of us know, but the sky's the limit. So hard work pays off, everybody. Put in the time, learn the skills. It's a lifelong journey. And, you know, the old cliche, it's a marathon, not sprint. It's really true. Like, it's a cliche for a reason. So, yeah, that's all I had to say on that one.
Yeah, very good words. What's your thought on those things, Ox?
Well, I'll tell you what's in store for 2023. I was planning on launching my $2,000 course. No, yeah, definitely. I mean, I stay away from courses. I've never taken a paid course. I've always thought, I mean, I really believe that almost anything can be found out there for free. Just it's the having to wade through the muck to find the good content. So, for the most part, I don't believe in courses either. And especially if you're charging thousands of dollars, then you're probably making more from trying to make more off of people thinking you know how to trade than actually successfully trading it. So yeah, courses definitely bad, in my opinion too, for the most part, except for things like John Grady. I agree with that. Or, you know, a cheap course, absolutely, but anything more than $100 or $200 is probably just a red flag. Even if it is good, it's probably that's too expensive for the content that probably can be found free.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the big separation between free stuff and the courses, at least with the courses, they can be structured and they can save you time going through and finding free resources. Or they may be, like, if it is a actual trader that's been successful, like John Grady, he's able to walk you through some of the things that, yeah, it might be free, but it's structured. And then he also can throw in some experience that is valuable on his end. So, yeah, I definitely think that there can be some courses out there. I just think the majority of courses out there aren't good. And there is a lot of just people selling dreams instead of courses. But yeah, if you can find a course that's not very expensive and it can take you from A to B and save you a lot of time searching for things and also give valuable experience or principles or values as being a trader, it can be very helpful. But otherwise, you're basically just you're just throwing away money that you could probably throw into an account. You know, if you pay $1,000 or $5,000 for a course, you probably throw that into account and learn more, even if you lost it all, than from the course. Right. So definitely agree with that as well. We have a request from Reggie. I'm going to approve it. You can go ahead when you're approved, and you can ask your question or add your comment.
Well, real quickly, I do want to just say we should bring up the fact that Canadian Futures Trader has an absolutely free course on his website that is quality content.
Yes, for sure. Good call out there. Yeah, Canadian Futures Trader has an absolutely free course on his website. I've actually went through and I don't trade it or anything, but I went through just to kind of see what it was, and it's very good content. And if you're the type of trader that likes I guess the order flow and volume type trading, if you're into that and that's the type of trader you are and you want to learn how a pro does it, because you know, Canadian futures trader, he's been around for a few years now, and he definitely knows how to trade. He has a blue Porsche to prove it. So if you're interested in that, definitely check out his free course, because it is valuable, and I can say that I've went through it, and it's very good quality content. And he has a lot of a lot of examples of his trade setups and things. And a lot of people's been trading the UB that I've seen. But Reggie, if you want to ask a question or throw in your comments, the floor is yours.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing well.
I missed the first part of this interview here, unfortunately, but I heard something about, courses and all that good stuff. I have taken, John Grady's beginner and intermediate courses. Well worth the money, I would say. I just want to put my little 2 cents in on that. And I also have purchased the webinar course. It's packed full of videos and all kinds of information. It's got a little book in there, but I'm only halfway through it. A ton of stuff, and it's a little over $1,800. But me personally, I would say, it's worth it to learn the jigsaw, the dom, and the treasuries, in my opinion. Just wanted to put my little 2 cents in on that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think he's definitely an exception when it comes to the course industry. You and both Canadian futures traders went through the course, and you both have had a really good positive experience with it. And I think he's an exception, because he is a pro trader and he knows what he's talking about. So I definitely think there's a lot of value in his course specifically, but there's just so much out there that I don't think that's the case for.
Right.
Absolutely.
Do you have any questions already? I know that I see you in the morning on the chats and stuff. You have any specific questions for the Mighty Ox Trading or even the Canadian Futures Trader?
Ox, how long have you been trading? I'm curious about that.
I started learning. My journey started in spring of 2020, and I switched to futures in about March of 2021.
Okay, so you didn't start out with futures then.
No, I honestly, when I first found out about these futures funding programs, the prop firms, I barely knew what futures were. I've heard of them, but didn't have any real clue how they worked.
I got you.
Yeah,
I
very
got
good
you.
question. Yeah, very good question. Yeah, definitely.
John, I actually got a question for you if you don't mind.
Yeah, shoot.
Are you still algo trading?
Yes, I am.
100%. I mean, that's all you do?
As far as futures trading, algo trading, well, so it's 100% algo or trading bot, how you know, whatever you want to call it. As far as the prop futures go, as far as my personal account, like the Just Swinging It podcast, we trade a little bit of everything. I do stocks, options, futures, options, crypto, futures, crypto options, pretty much the whole asset classes, product types, the whole stock market basically. And some of it is, well, it's all systematic. Not all of it has been coded yet. I'm actually in the process of coding everything that I trade. And so just moving over to a new platform and really working through that is what I'm in the process of now. But as far as prop trading, like day trading futures go, because the most of the day trading I do is only in the prop account. My personal account is more of like swing trades or maybe month trades. So that's the only thing that I'm not algo trading in, but it is systematic and rules based.
Okay. Well, what I was curious about was, I believe you was using Excel for all your coding, or I was, wondering, where'd you find out any information? I can't find any information about that on
Yeah,
the internet.
so there's very limited information, and actually Canadian Futures Trader and I, he was interested in the algo trading as well. I know in the future we plan to do a video together that I guess we're going to release on his channel, and I'll probably start to make more information about it as well, because I become a funded prop trader I took the evaluation in November, became a prop trader in December, and I've been trading in prop accounts since, and I've taken multiple withdrawals now. So I now feel like I can speak on the subject. So I plan to put out some videos on a YouTube channel that'll come later on, and then we'll do a collab with the Canadian Futures Trader about it as well, because I do think that, for me, I have a day job still. So, when I'm gone to work, it is, it's hard to day trade. So that was kind of the reason I got into it.
I got you. Nice. Well, it's been good talking to you guys. And congratulations, CFT, on the Jeep.
Thank you, Reggie. I know. John missed the Jeep somehow. Thank you. I love it. I was just driving it an hour ago.
All right, guys. Hey, man, y'all take it easy.
Thanks for stopping in. Yeah, I guess we will wrap it up here. Is there any final words, you guys, before we wrap it up? I really appreciate you coming on.
I'll just say quick. I plan on talking to John and or yourself and going through kind of algo trading. It is something I'm really interested in. I kind of have been on like pseudo vacation all August. August was just kind of a weird like slow month in terms of like trader evaluation deals. So I kind of took the opportunity to just like not make videos and stuff. So I'm basically checked out for a month, but I'm ramping up for September. And that is something I am highly interested in. I try to play my cards close to my vest, but I have been goofing off a little bit with the strategies within NinjaTrader and trying to backtest a few things. But that might be something too that talking to you and learning more might help give me some more direction, because I'm literally just trying to, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Trying to take what I do, like physically when I'm trading, and turn it into a strategy, it's really tough. So I kind of keep going down the wrong path. I feel like I come up with a new idea. I'm like, well, let me try this. And it's like, whatever. Anyways, we can get into all that. But I think it would really be useful, because I honestly, like, what you do is a big black box. Because like Reggie had asked you about, trading in Excel and stuff. I'm a higher, like, I'm a good Excel user. I come from a corporate background. Like, I use Excel every day. But in terms of like using it to program a trading bot, not a clue. So it'll be really interesting to go through that. I will start formulating my thoughts, and September will make that happen. And I think it'll be super useful for like everybody to hear what you have to say about algo trading and whatnot.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, the Excel is something that I had a little bit of experience with before doing the, I took a couple courses in college and things like that on it, but it wasn't until I got into the algo trading and found out that you could actually use Excel to do it that I really took a deep dive in Excel. I've actually made a trading platform in Excel. I've made a trading bot in Excel. I've made journal templates. I've kind of just took a very big deep dive into Excel in the last, I guess, year and a half, 2 years, something like that. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I think people can have a lot of value from that, on that side of things. Became my specialty, so that's what I can offer in this space, at least.
Sounds good.
No, love it. Looking forward. Yep, look forward to big September. We're going to learn about algos and trading bots from the great John Burrell. So,
hey, we'll do what we can. But yeah, so thank you guys for coming on and listening. If you caught the stream live, or you're just now coming to it, you can definitely listen to this anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can go to Anchor, or you can go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of the mainstreaming podcast sites you can listen to this on. So I appreciate everybody coming on, and we'll definitely have more conversations going on in the future. So I appreciate everyone coming on. Enjoy your weekend and keep trading profitably.
Thanks for having me.
See you guys. Yeah, thanks for coming on. The contents of this week's episode of the Just Swinging It podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only. All persons are only given their opinions and are not to be considered financial advice. The Just Swinging It podcast isn't responsible for any financial actions you may take based on the conversations held on this show.
Thank you.